Ian Duncan Smith, good morning. Could you?
Good morning. Sorry, I missed that last bit.
Could you survive on £53 a week, was Mr. Bennett's question to you.
Well, if I had to, I would. But the real point is, I'm not sure if we deal an individual case like this, honestly, John, that what he's eligible for, what he's not been getting, and whether or not there are changes that can be made in his personal circumstances. So all of these things vary dramatically. I know that as a constituency MP as much as I do as Secretary of State for Work and Pensions. The reality is that what we're trying to make certain is that the amount of money that taxpayers pay sees some value at the end of it in terms of people being supported, as they must, those who really need support get the support they do, but it's only fair to accept that taxpayers recognise that their money is not being misspent and is being wasted. And there's been a huge amount of money which, in the course of the welfare system now, has absolutely been wasted.
Yes, but the welfare system is made up of individuals, isn't it? Individuals like Mr. Bennett, and I understand that you you're not intimate with the details of his income, but he is. He knows exactly what he's got to live on, and it is simply not enough. And that is patently obvious, and he's doing his damnedest. He's working as hard as he possibly can. He's having absolutely no success. He made £2,700 in 14 months, even though he was working hard. And that is the point, isn't it? The point is that people who lead the benefits the most, in many cases, in most cases, are actually in work. The really poor in this country, by and large, overwhelmingly, are working. They're doing their best, and now they're having to survive on less.
Yeah, the reality here, though, John, is that it's quite important to put this into context. And if you just forgive me, the reality of the amount of money that was being spent, and I think actually being wasted, not being properly targeted, which is what we're trying to do here. You know, honestly, if you just look at the amount the last government spent on tax credit, it increased spending by 340%, which is 4.5 times more than the benefits that they replaced. And what you were left with was youth unemployment was rising by 40%, 5 million were on out-of-work benefits, and 1 in 5 households are inherited. No one was working, and 2 million children living in families where no one works. So, you know, the highest record in the EU. So this is not an easy thing to reform. But what we're trying to do, and I understand, you know, these issues go on, what we're trying to make certain is that, you know, people like the individual you interviewing earlier on, that our job centres are able to work with them, to look at what they're doing, to advise them, to say, look, maybe this is not the right work for you to be in. If it's not working for you, let's look at other work you can do, other part-time work you can maybe take on to supplement your income. This is the whole point. It's about understanding better and being supported in through work to do more hours to get more income. You know, that is the key thing at the moment.
And even if that works, it doesn't quite answer the question that does it, of how and why you are targeting some of the most vulnerable people in the way you are. I know that you take exception, for understandable reasons, some would say, to use Labour's use of the word wealth, a bedroom tax, but the fact is, you're saying to people with a spare, in quotes, bedroom, you've got to find somewhere else to live, when you know perfectly well that in most cases, there is simply nowhere for them to go. There are 180,000 households that are under-occupying two-bedroom houses. Mm. There are only 85,000 one-bedroom social houses, homes available. That's the reality. So you're hitting people who are already very vulnerable indeed.
What we're trying to do, John, is get this thing back into order. I mean, there are
I'm
going to answer the question that you've raised.
Right.
Look, we are in an economic mess. We had inherited a problem where we simply don't have the money to spend on all the things that everybody would like us to do.
Yes, you made that point.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do is to get this so that we don't spend money on things which are unfair. Look, let's get this in perspective.
Yeah.
People who rent and are supported in housing benefit in the private sector, they are not paid for any extra
rooms. I'm
talking
about the social.
No, they're exactly the same group of people. It's housing benefit supports them. The last government did not allow them to have spare rooms. What we're simply saying to those in social housing at the moment that have spare rooms, with some exemptions, obviously, what we're saying to them is, look, it's only fair that if you are going to occupy these rooms and there is no legitimate reason for there being an extra room. What we're simply saying is
either their home.
Yeah, okay, fine. But John, you know, the reality is taxpayers are subsidising people to live in those homes. They need to be reassured.
And it would cost more if they moved into the private sector.
The reality, no, the reality here is that councils need to work with them to ensure that what they have is they have a house that they pay for, stay in that house, but they, you know, the reality is it reflects some of the costs that exist out also in the private sector. Housing benefit, let me just tell you this, because this is really critical. Housing benefit under the last government completely exploded. It doubled in 10 years. It was set to rise by another £5 billion a year. Taxpayers were paying thousands more for this because what the last government did, it failed to build houses, lowest house building since the 1920s. We're trying to reorganise that.
Yes, and when you've done it, fine, but you can't build them.
A quarter of a million people, John, no, wait a minute, a quarter of a million people are living in overcrowded accommodation. The waiting list doubled under the last government, and what they were prepared to do was subsidise people to stay in houses with spare rooms and not pay any more. You know, if the, for those who are actually in overcrowded accommodation, maybe their voice should be heard in this. They've been sitting, many of them with health problems because of this, because no one bothered about them. I simply want to know, when do we actually ask the question about those who are suffering because of a failed housing program? I can't turn that around overnight. What I'm trying to do is to at least use the money we've got to be fair, to try and give them a chance to get into housing which isn't overcrowded, and for those who are living in under-occupied housing, at least to take some share of that issue.
And you have acknowledged, haven't you, that you acknowledged last week, I think it was, that the reality in this country is, I'm quoting you, not cutting welfare. All those on cash benefits will still see cash increases in every year of this Parliament. Now, given that, given that it is so essential that we cut welfare, we can take it from that statement that we ain't seen nothing yet. There are going to be many much bigger cuts coming if we are to make real cuts.
We're making significant savings in welfare.
But how about using the word cuts? Because that's what it is.
Well, we're reforming and making savings in welfare. The point about this is that, John, you know, if UK, because of the way we're trying to do it, we're trying to ensure that as far as possible, as we make those reductions, we are as fair as possible. You know, honestly, if we
and
were
I'm
sitting...
suggesting to you there have to be many more... You made that point very clearly.
Yeah, no, but my main
I'm
point
suggesting
is...
to... Well, I don't... Yeah, okay. But I would very much right, like you right, to answer okay. this question. You have said that so far the cuts are not having the intended effect. That is to say, they are not actually cutting the welfare bill. What I'm suggesting to you is that as a result of that, you are going to have to cut the welfare bill much deeper and harder if you're going to achieve your objective.
No, look, the welfare bill, working age welfare bill, will fall lower than we inherited. It'll fall to something in the order of around about the levels at 2008, 2009 by the end of this Parliament. So the overall level will fall and
the
is
The reality
falling.
Is that all those on cash benefits will still see cash increases in this year of this Parliament.
Yes, because, of course, look at
Every
what
year
we're
of
doing.
This
you know, the 1% restriction we've made to the rise in benefits is still a 1% rise. You know, if you were sitting in Ireland or Portugal or many of those other countries, they're actually seeing real cash cuts. So what we're trying to do is to get control of the welfare bill, but make sure it lowers, and it lowers in a way that we can be fair as possible to people.
In which case you will
actually
have to attack.
Slashing or attacking people. Well, we're trying to reform it and change it. And
but you're going to have to attack and slash, to use your language. Oh, no. Hang on a minute, let me finish the question. Older people, because it's as you've talked about people in work, but the fact is the majority of the bill goes to people who are retired. So you're going to have to attack or slash, if you like, people who are in retirement.
No, I don't believe that at all. You know, I'm very proud of the fact that working together with Steve Webb, we've reforming the pensions bill so that people will be saving more as they go forward through automatic enrolment. And also the single tier will ensure that people who retire on a base
and the
pension,
universal benefits which is, that they get.
Which is absolutely right. And the reason why, by the way, for those who are past retirement, is very simply this, that they least of all are able to change their circumstances. Those who are of working age, we believe working with them, we can help them change their prospects through work, through a better support. But those who are pensioners, of course, they're the most vulnerable because they can't. So, you know, we have absolutely ensured that pensions rise above inflation and certainly above incomes by 2.5% extra. So, I'm pleased about that. That is the right thing to do.
Final quick thought.
Controlling welfare is critical.
All right. Well, controlling welfare is critical. Are your changes being driven by necessity, critical in your word, or is it a sort of moral crusade to change our values to work and benefits? And I'm afraid not a very long answer, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, John, we have to get the bill down, I know that. But the reality is, longer term, successive governments have simply come in, and when they've had a problem, they've cut welfare bills, and then later on they've ballooned again. What we've got to try and do is what I'm trying to do through universal credit and all the changes we're making through the disability changes, is to change the process so that actually we end up restructuring the culture so that people actually, in essence, find that work always pays. It doesn't right now. Whatever else Labour say, the tax credit system was a complete mess. It meant that people were trapped in certain hours of work. If you worked other hours, it didn't pay you. They crashed out of work. And they spent huge sums of money just on the child benefits, not on going back to work. So universal credit is all about incentives to go to work and to stay in work and to move into full-time work. Full-time work is when you break free of the welfare system. That's the critical element. These reforms, yes, they're about holding back on the costs, but really critically, this government will look back and people will say, this is modernizing a welfare system so that work always pays. Universal credit means the poorest get the highest level of money, and that is the best way to deal with youth poverty, to deal with child poverty, and to deal with homes that are workless right now, which is the highest in the European Union and one of the highest in the G20.
Ian Duncan-Smith, thanks very much indeed.